It is so great to be with my church family. And however you might be getting this, if you're across the street or online, so good. I'm so thankful for these times together. They strengthen me, and my hope is that they strengthen you as well. By the way, I want to let you know, next week, Julie Boyt will be with us, our kingdom partner from that's doing work in Kenya, and she is doing remarkable work there, changing healthcare in that part of Africa. And so she'll be here next week, and you'll want to be sure to be here to hear from her. Also, the week after that, we'll be kind of having a Thanksgiving service and several baptisms that are going to be taking place throughout the course of that weekend. So that'll be a weekend of celebration that you won't want to miss also. Well, this weekend, we're wrapping up a series that we've been in based on the parables of Jesus. We haven't addressed all of the parables, but we've covered several of them, and we've given away Tom's book that addresses some of the parables that we didn't talk about on the weekends. And by the way, if you received a copy of Tom's book, and if you've read through it and you're finished with it, give it away to someone. Tom was talking to me about it this week, and he said, I hate the thought of it just sitting on a bookshelf collecting dust somewhere. So if you're finished with it, give it to somebody. If you can't think of anybody to give it to, write a little note in it and just leave it behind somewhere at a Starbucks or something for someone to find. You never know who might be curious to know what Jesus taught. Well, remember, parable means to throw alongside. A story that is thrown alongside us so that we can see that in comparison to this. It's like when a Maserati pulls up to an intersection next to my Hyundai, and I look at that, and I look at this, and I think, what might that be like? A parable is a story. It's a story that offers us an opportunity to notice what is and what can be. It's like Jesus opening a window so we can look through and see what this other way of life with God is like. And remember, a parable is also like a mirror that helps us see ourselves as we really are. I'll never forget one time I was in the bathroom in the lobby right over here before a service started, and there was an elderly gentleman in there standing at the sink in front of the mirror, and he was working on his hair and working on his hair, and finally he looked at himself in the mirror and he said, that's as pretty as I'm going to get, and he walked out. These parables help us see ourselves as we are and help us see what's possible in the kingdom of God that Jesus has revealed. And this last parable in our series is a parable that's set on a wedding day. In all the excitement and nerves and anticipation and culmination of a wedding day, those days are full of excitement. That feeling of something that has been in process for a long time, all the waiting and planning and hoping that has gone into it. Wedding days are high drama days, full of intensity. In this parable that Jesus tells about a wedding day is an intense little story. And I want to tell you up front a little of what it's about even before we read it. This little parable is about this. Jesus has made it possible to live new lives with God. God can make you new and wants to make you new. Every area of your life, transformed by His grace. God is not wondering how good you can be, how religious you can be, or how anything you can be. He will take your life just as it is, and by the power of His love, He will make you new. All that you bring to Him is a willingness to surrender all and say, God, make me what you want. That's what this parable is about, and that's what I want you to keep in mind. He will make you new for new life in His kingdom. All right, let's look at this parable of the wedding banquet. You'll find it in your bulletins and on the screens as well. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner. The barbecue and the potato salad is all ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention. The people who were invited, they went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest of those that were invited seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city and said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited didn't deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone that you can find. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen. Wow, that's a doozy of a parable, isn't it? It's the kind of thing that makes me want to say, see, Jesus, that's why you make people uncomfortable sometimes. But there's a message here for us. Jesus has thrown it alongside us so that we can respond. It'll help to have some context. Jesus, when he tells this story about the wedding banquet, the conflict that he has been in, that's been building between Jesus and the religious leaders in Jerusalem, that conflict has grown and the pressure is mounting that will very soon lead to the cross. Jesus has claimed to be the Savior, but he has utterly disappointed the religious groups in Jerusalem, because he hasn't played by their terms. He's talking about a new thing that God is doing through him, new life that is available to all who would respond to the Son of God. And it doesn't look the way that the religious people thought it would. And so they are planning to arrest and kill him. And Jesus confronts them with this parable that basically says, you say you want to please God, but when God's plan of salvation is revealed, you aren't pleased with it. You reject it. And you're going to miss out on how far-reaching, how life-changing, and how world-altering this plan of salvation really is. God doesn't want anyone to miss out on what he has prepared for us in his kingdom, not just in heaven someday. He wants to make all things new today. Don't Don't reject the invitation to the kingdom. Receive it and receive all that God has for you. He wants to make all things new starting now. And so I want to look through the window with you to see that new way of life with Jesus. And then I want to look in the mirror with you to see how we respond to the invitation. So here's the window. Looking through this story, Jesus shows us that the kingdom of heaven is like you being invited into life with God, in which he makes you new. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a king. There's a king. There's someone ruling in this kingdom. Who rules in you? Who's king in your heart of hearts? Who gets to define truth in your life? Because looking through this story, through the window into the kingdom of God, we see that there is a king who sits on the throne of your life, who gets to determine the purpose in your life. And who is this king? It is God Almighty. He is the king. He is the king of glory, the king of righteousness, the king of holiness, and the king of victory, whose kingdom will have no end. He is the king of heaven. He is the king over all the earth. He is the king of all the nations. And the government, the Bible says, will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He is the king forever. He is the king of justice. He is the king of mercy. He is the king of all kings. There is no one like him. He's shaken off death. He's overcome the grave. He holds the keys of death in his hands and gives life away to all who trust in him. He's the king, and there is no other. The kingdom of heaven, this new life with God that you and I are invited into, is a personal relationship with this king. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, a royal wedding. The father prepares a dinner party for the son because the son's going to be joined with his bride. It's like a wedding. The kingdom, he doesn't say, is like a religion. It's not like a school. It's not a philosophy. The kingdom of heaven is not like a church building or a denomination. It's not about a code of conduct or a political persuasion. The kingdom of heaven is more than all of that. It is more than ethics. It's more than ideas. It's more than behaviors. Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is about God inviting us into a personal relationship with him. To be invited to this party is to be invited to be with the king. To be invited to this party is to be known by the king, seen by the king, requested by the king, wanted by him. The kingdom of heaven isn't just like any kind of party. It's like a king who prepares a party for his son and invites whoever he wants to the party. Jesus said about this that the time has come, just like a wedding day that arrives. The time has come. The kingdom is at hand. It's available. Life with God, with all that God offers, his hope and his peace and his love, all of it is available for you to receive. And when you turn to Jesus and trust him, this is Jesus's gospel, his good news that never ceases to be good and never ceases to be new in every generation, in every day, and in every life, that the kingdom of heaven is personal. It's life with God for you and me. And who is invited? Ultimately, whoever. hears the invitation is invited to life with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him won't perish but have life everlasting. He's a whosoever king throwing a whosoever party with a whosoever message of his love and power. It's a wide open invitation to anyone, anyone who wants life with God, anyone who will hear the invitation and respond. The reach of the gospel knows no end. The good news of God's loving call to you and I can still be heard throughout the ages and around the world. Think about where the gospel has had a radical impact in this, on the globe. Just think about the earth, all the continents, the nations, where the gospel has had a lasting, radical impact. Literally everywhere that humanity hears it. The only places that the gospel has not had an overwhelmingly radical impact are in places where it has not yet been heard. Those unreached people that we talk about finishing the task, reaching to the very last group, the very last community of people who haven't yet heard the King's invitation. World religions are all bound in culture and geography. The message of God's love for the whole world arose out of geography as well. It arose out of a small corner of a minor outpost and a failed empire 2,000 years ago. But where is it today? It couldn't be stopped in Bethlehem. It couldn't be stopped in Jerusalem. Not in Israel, not in Europe or Africa or Asia. There is no limit to what Jesus offers the world because God wants to make all things new. Whosoever around the world and whosoever in Los Angeles, there is no one who the gospel leaves out. No one. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 And he's got the brothers and the sisters in his hands. He's got the brothers and the sisters in his hands. He's got the brothers and the sisters. In his hands, he's got the whole world. That's right. And his shout of love, and his shout of friendship, and his shout of hope, and his shout of forgiveness, and of new birth, and a new start in a whole new world with God, that has not changed. It is still the message for all things to be made new. It's for the whole world, and it's for you. He wants to make you new. He's king, and you're invited to new life in his kingdom. That's what Jesus shows us about life with God in this parable. But what does he show us about ourselves? What's in the mirror? We see two possible responses that Jesus warns us about. Two possible ways that you and I could respond to the invitation and miss out on what he's inviting us to. The first possible response to Jesus' invitation is to just reject it outright from the beginning. Just like a wedding invitation that asks for an RSVP and you send back saying, I don't want to come. This parable raises the question, do we want life with the King? Or do we want life on our terms? Luke recorded a very similar parable in his gospel. By the way, his is much more cheery and has like this big happy ending. But his version, Jesus is very perceptive of the kind of excuses that people make when they reject life with him. Luke records that Jesus says they all began to make excuses, those that were invited to the wedding. One said, "I've just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me." It's a preference for what can be gained from this world over what God offers in his kingdom. Another said, "I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." And this is the business and the busyness of life that can so easily distract us from knowing God and experiencing the life he invites us to. And another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." I love that one. "Thanks, but no thanks. I just had my own party. Don't want to come to yours." And again, it's ultimately the same as the first two. I'm happy with my relationships, God. I'm happy with the world as I have ordered it, God. If you want to be part of what I'm doing, great, but don't ask me to be part of what you're doing. It's possible to hear the invitation to the kingdom, to hear God calling you, drawing us to life with him. And we can be curious about the reality of God and what's true about God. Even in moments we can hear about Jesus and want to respond, we're drawn by the Spirit to the gospel. But there always, always, always comes a choice. And the mirror in this story draws our attention to that choice, that question: will you demand that God fit into your life, or will you receive the life God offers you? You have a choice, and today, like a wedding day, is the day to choose. The other possible response that Jesus points to in the mirror of this parable is a much more subtle response. And that's what makes the ending of this parable so unsettling, when the dude who wore the wrong clothes gets thrown out into the darkness. Remember, this is a royal wedding. When we plan a wedding, we plan to feed people. But for a royal wedding in this culture that Jesus is talking in, the king, for a royal wedding, would plan not only to feed people, he would provide new clothes for them to wear. It was an act of kindness and hospitality so that the people, the guests, would feel more at ease in the king's presence than they might feel in their own common clothes. And here's the subtle message. The invitation to the kingdom is enormous. It's wide open. But it's easy to think that we can respond to the invitation and show up and participate on our own terms. I want some of what Jesus is dishing out, but I don't want all of it. I want some of what he offers, but I don't want to surrender all to him. Help me, Jesus, but leave some of me alone. And when we approach Jesus on our terms, we miss out on all that the King has prepared for us. The invitation for all of us to life in God's kingdom is an invitation to a whole new way of living. And the proper response is to show up and say, from head to toe, make me new for this new life with you. A king rules in his kingdom. He rules with a way and a will, just like Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Jesus came to bring the kingdom of heaven to you and me. He came to open a way for us to live with God today and forever. He came to open this different way to be and to live. And it's not anybody's way. It's God's way. for His world. A few years ago, I officiated a wedding for a couple. And one day the bride called me before the wedding, several weeks before the wedding, the bride called me to let me know that she had scheduled an appointment for me with a tailor downtown to take my measurements. And I figured, well, we must be wearing, you know, rented tuxedos or something for this wedding. So no point in arguing with a bride when she's planning her wedding. So I went downtown to this place, and it wasn't a rental shop. It was a little mom-and-pop tailoring business where a seamstress took my measurements and a tailor made a custom tuxedo for me. It was amazing. Anybody getting married? I'm just letting you know. The whole nine yards, though. Custom shirt, pants, coat, tie, socks, shoes, made for me. It was amazing. And I'll never forget the lady that was taking my measurements. At one point, she looked in the mirror with me, and she said, "Do you know that you have one shoulder slightly lower than the other?" I said, "No, I didn't know that." She said, "Well, that's okay. We can fix that by where we put the button on the coat." Oh, okay, okay. Great. I mean, they looked me up and down, and they made me look good. I think the bride had seen how the pastors at this church dress. And she said to her groom, "We're not taking any chances. We got to help this guy out." And God, in His great love for us, whoever you are, He wants to make you new. He wants to take you just as you are and dress you in His finest, in His righteousness, with truth and with new life. There will be some crooked shoulders that He wants to point out, but He'll make you new. But as much as you refuse what the King gives you, you cannot experience all that the King has prepared for you. Jesus said something similar when He told Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born all over again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And then He explained Himself. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives a new birth to spiritual life. There's a whole kingdom of life prepared for you with the King. Paul writes about it in his letters to the churches over and over again in Galatians. "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. The tuxedo that was made for me, it looked just like the tux that the groom had made for him. God dresses all His children in His finest. He will place on you the same robe of righteousness worn by His Son. And He will look at you the way that He looks at Jesus. Corinthians tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a brand new creation. The old is gone. The new is here." Sometimes we see the filthy rags of our own choices and sins so clearly that we know we need a new way to live. And other times God has to point some things out to us and say, "Hey, that's not what I want for you. I want to do something new with that." I responded to the gospel years ago. And since that time, I've had many opportunities to take off some old ways and put on some new. Just recently, in fact, the Lord has been helping me to see some things I got to lay down. He's been pointing out to me some expectations that I'm holding over my kids And just recently, I had a sense of God saying to me, Matt, I don't hold those same expectations for them. Would you trust them to me? You don't need to hold on to those either. And I began to realize that some of the expectations I held for my kids were really only, at the end of the day, limitations to what God might want to do with them. I had to let go of some old things and discover some new things. Paul wrote to a young adult named Timothy, who had been, he'd begun to lead a church, and Paul says to him, hey, there will be some people who want all the benefits of Jesus. They'll want to be part of things. They'll want all the benefits of being in your church, but they don't really want what Jesus offers. And this is the way he says it. This is a powerful statement. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Do you want the power that will make you what God wants to make you? Do you want to receive that from Him? Is there any part of you that God might want to make new, but you've held it from Him? You've stood in your own clothes and on your own terms. He loves us. He loves us so much, and He wants to take every part of us and make us new. He wants all those with old, worn-out lives to come and be dressed in His love and robed in His righteousness. Tommy, would you join me up here? All are welcome, and that's grace. Grace is an invitation that you didn't deserve. Grace is a new start that you didn't earn. Grace is being welcomed by the one who loved you first. Grace is a way made for you into a life you couldn't make for yourself. Grace is God's love for you just as you are, so that you don't have to stay that way. See, grace will change you. Will you give Him all that you are so He can make you all that He wants you to be? He's the King. When Jesus chose words from the Bible to explain what He wants to do for us, He quoted the 61st chapter of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Isaiah's words go on to say that He also came to proclaim the day of God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment like a robe of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Oh, how splendid God makes us when we give Him our filthy rags and He makes us new. Many, many will hear this invitation. The question is, will you receive all that He offers you? Would you stand with me and respond to God's word by singing together? Tommy, would you lead us?